good hand. I don't know about you, but when they were singing, "I'm in the Lord's Army," I almost wanted to stand up and sing. Kind of took me back to the days when I was a pastor in Dalhart. We took all the junior kids to camp at, what was that camp called? I can't remember. Wayside. It's in Wayside, Texas. I can't remember the exact name of the camp, but we took, Hidden Falls. Hidden Falls camp. We took all the junior kids down there, and we had such a great time with the kids. Tonight, if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to our text tonight in 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 10, while you're turning there, I just would like to ask a couple of questions and have you to be thinking about them before we read our text. And our purpose tonight is to prepare our church for our church-wide outreach, which is 2 weeks from this Saturday. We're going to be starting our Go 2020 and mobilizing groups into our community with the gospel. And I want to get everybody ready for that battle for souls. And I remember it's been about a few years ago that Trapper shared something with the Sentinel team that I have not forgotten. He said the battle is not lost in the midst of the battle, but in the preparation. And so I thought, as we go out with the gospel, that it's a warfare. It's a warfare for souls. And I certainly don't want to lose that one. I want to win as many as we can. And so the battle's not lost in the midst of the battle. It's going to be lost in the preparation. So I want to take the next couple of Sunday nights and just preparing you with that battle plan to rescue lost souls. The questions are this: why does winning a lost soul seem so hard? Why does it seem so hard to win a lost soul to Christ? Why is it that people are reluctant to hear and to respond to the gospel? You know, if you stop and think about it, the gospel, that the good news of eternal life, that's a free gift of God to us who are lost. I mean, where God gives us life, He gives us not just life, but eternal life, a home in heaven. How could anybody want to turn that down? But yet, so many people are reluctant to hear the gospel or even respond to the gospel. How can we overcome this hardness of heart? How can we overcome this hardness of heart and bring people to faith in Christ? I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, in Corinth, I've never been to Corinth. I don't know, Terry, did you get to go to Corinth? I've been told that outside of Corinth, there's a hill that juts out of the ground. It's a big rock, I think it is, and it's called the Acropolis. It's a high place, and back in the ancient time of the city of Corinth, back in Paul's day, they had a fortress on top of this Acropolis. It was a stronghold. And what a stronghold is, it's a place where people can retreat when the enemy comes against a city, a place that's fortified, a place where they could defend themselves from the enemy that would be coming against them. In many of the ancient cities, back in Paul's day, the entire city would be walled, fortified with these huge walls. They usually would have an exterior wall and they would have an interior wall to protect against enemies that would try to encroach upon them. And oftentimes they would have in these cities a big tower from which they could be on the watch, watching out for enemy armies that would come to attack them. And so Paul here in this passage, he is talking about casting down strongholds. And I think having described that to you, you can understand what a literal stronghold is. A literal stronghold, it's a fortified place. It's a place of protection. It's a place to keep the invading armies out. But Paul is using the word stronghold in a metaphorical sense. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at the stronghold that Paul is referring to. And I want to just say this, that he talks about in verse 3, though we walk after the flesh, or walk in the flesh, I'm sorry, we do not war after the flesh. He's talking about war. And this word war, in fact, the Greek word here is, it's where we get the word strategy. And so he's talking about a war plan, a battle plan. Though we prepare on an ongoing battle, and it's in a continuous tense. And so he's saying we are warring continuously, and we're continuously having battle strategies and plans. But he says we don't do it after the flesh. And we need to realize that there's a war going on today. And in every war, you have to have a strategy. You have to have a battle plan. And I can guarantee you tonight, I want to get your attention tonight, please. Seem like a lot of people are distracted tonight, but I want to get your attention. Satan has a strategy. I can guarantee you tonight, he has a strategy. And he's executing it. And we cannot win this battle for souls without a counter strategy. And this passage will help us in this war that we have, that we're engaged in. And the devil's strategy has always been to propagate lies. It's always been to propagate lies. He uses all kinds of means. It started in the Garden of Eden. This war started way back in the beginning where Satan propagated a lie through a serpent. He said, yea, God said. Did God really say that? And really, I think it was like a rhetorical question because he's really making a statement, God didn't say that. Amen. You know what he's doing? He's planting in Eve's mind a lie. That's what he was doing, planning a lie. And that's what Satan does. That's his strategy, to plant lies in the hearts and minds of people. And as I was sitting up here and I'm looking at these children and they're up here singing tonight, and I'm thankful that they're learning some truth. They're learning some songs and they're learning truth from the Bible because, listen, Satan is working so hard to build strongholds in these little children's minds. You know, it just breaks my heart to think about it. To think about the children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, the children in our church, the teenagers in our church, even their adults in our church. It breaks my heart to think that Satan is building strongholds. He's building fortresses in people's minds and thoughts in their hearts. It's a battle for the mind. That's what we're looking at tonight in this passage. In 1965, Donald Gray Barnhouse, he wrote a book about this battle for the mind called The Invisible War. Tonight, I don't want you to misunderstand what the battle is. When we go out to reach people with the gospel, when we go out and try to engage people with truth, listen, I want you to understand the battle. Don't misunderstand it. It's a war for their mind and their heart. Did you know the Bible says that out of the heart are the issues of life? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What that means, out of it are the wellsprings of life. Everything in your life flows out of your heart. He's not talking about the physical organ that's beating in your chest. He's talking about the whole of you. Sometimes in the Bible it's called the mind. The mind and the heart and the thoughts of the heart, that phrase is used. And so that's what he's talking about. The thoughts of your heart, it's your heart. Out of your heart, everything flows. And this is a statement that I've been hearing over and over in our biblical counseling class that my wife and I are going through. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. I mean, they're drilling that into us. The heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. So if you have a behavior problem, people has a problem that's with some kind of behavior, some wrong behavior, sinful behavior, it's a problem of the heart. And Satan has been at work since the Garden of Eden in this war, this invisible war, to win people's hearts, to win people's minds, to build these fortresses of lies so that the truth would be kept from their hearts. This battle, I want to tell you, is vicious. This battle is intense. This battle is unrelenting. This battle is unfair because Satan never plays fair. And today, I want to tell you that this is needed more than ever before for us to understand these truths tonight, because Satan has more means at his disposal today than ever before. I'm talking about means to spread his lies. I mean, there's news media running 24/7 on our TVs, on our social media. I mean, we're hearing all these things, just constant inflow of information, and many times it's lies that he plants in that information that's coming into people's minds through social media, through Hollywood, through books, through music. Get this, even through pulpits, preachers, and churches across our land. Satan uses all means that he can to plant lies, to build fortresses. And Paul is telling us that our job in this battle is to pull down these strongholds. And it's not going to be done through carnal weapons of the flesh, but through mighty spiritual weapons given to us by God. I want to ask the question, what is the stronghold Paul is talking about here in verse 4? What is this stronghold? What are we talking about? This spiritual stronghold. It's a mental stronghold. It's a mental stronghold. You could call it a mental block. A mental block. Or a mindset that is in opposition to God. Because I want you to look at this again. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down," what's that next word? Imaginations. And the Greek word here is where we get the word logic. And so he's talking about reasonings, thoughts. That's what he's talking about in imaginations, reasonings, and thoughts. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about a mindset that is against God. He's talking about an ideology that is against God. He's talking about thoughts, ideologies, reasonings, lies that are in the mind that are against God, that are exalting themselves against God. Man in his conceit and his pride exalting himself against the knowledge of God. And so I want you to understand that what men and women are hiding behind, the forts that they're hiding in, the strongholds they're hiding in, is in this stronghold of ideologies, false ideologies, made up of lies that are against God. They fortify themselves against God and against the gospel of Christ. These are intellectual strongholds. And Satan holds these fortresses. Our enemy, the devil, does. And listen, I want you to realize that it's only when people believe these lies that these fortresses are built brick by brick by brick until there's a wall. There's a mental block in people's minds against the truth. I mean, just think about it. Go out there and preach the gospel and see what you get. You're going to have people, all kinds of things that they're going to tell you that they believe. They're going to speak things against God. They're going to speak things against the gospel. They're going to be in opposition to the gospel. It's because Satan has erected these strongholds. And we're not talking here. You know, a lot of times when you hear about spiritual warfare today, you hear people talking about almost like we have to go hand-to-hand combat with demons. But that's not what I see here. We're going hand-to-hand combat against doctrines of devils, false beliefs. There are fortresses, there are strongholds in people's minds and their thoughts. It's a battle for truth. And these strongholds of Satan often begin with an emotional wound. Somebody gets wounded emotionally, and so it makes them vulnerable. They get hurt. They experience disappointment. And it makes their heart fertile for these lies that Satan plants. And on this foundation, the devil then begins to add to those lies. He builds lie after lie until there's a stronghold in that person's mind against God. Logical lies. Logical lies. Because here, as I said that word imagination, the Greek word is where we get the word logical. He's talking about imagination here. Logical reasonings and lies. You know, just imagine a kid growing up, and a kid having someone who, I'm not saying it's necessarily his father, but someone who should be a father figure to them. And this person breaks their trust. This person hurts them. And so this kid grows up thinking no one can be trusted. And Satan plants that lie in their mind because they were hurt by someone that should have been a person whom they could trust. And so they were hurt and wounded. And so Satan plants a little lie and says, you know what? Nobody can be trusted. And what happens is these kids grow up and they have a difficult time trusting God. Because, see, there's these lies that form a stronghold. Logical lies. They struggle to trust in God for who He is. You know, the moment we buy into these lies of Satan and agree with the devil, that's when these lies become a spiritual stronghold. And I want to just say, these strongholds are not only found in lost people, they're found in believers. You know, Satan can begin building a stronghold of lies in your mind. That's why it's so important for you to spend time, as we were hearing tonight about these kids, spending time every day in the Word of God. How important that is to put truth in the mind of these kids. Every day, parents, you ought to encourage your kids. Because what's going to defeat these strongholds, we're going to look at in a moment, but I will tell you, it's the truth. Amen. The truth's the only thing that can defeat these strongholds. Because he tells us very clearly in verse 3 that we are not to war after the flesh. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not fight after the flesh. What he's talking about is that we don't cast down these strongholds by fleshly means, such as human wisdom. You know, when we go out soul winning, when we go out to share the gospel, listen, when you engage people, you're not going to break these strongholds down with human wisdom. You're not. You may win an argument, but you're not going to win a soul. They're not. These strongholds don't come down through human wisdom or human plans or human programs or methodology. We're not going to win the loss by our eloquence, by personality, by cleverness, by entertainment, by religious showmanship. That ain't how we're going to win people, folks. He says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not of the flesh, they're not of human power, if you would. He says, but mighty through God. You know, for this spiritual stronghold to be cast down, to be pulled down, it's going to take the mighty power of God. And that's something we need to all realize. Don't mistake what the war is. The war is for the minds and hearts of people. That's where our war is. It's not against devils. We're, you know, yes, in a sense, yes, the devil is fighting against us, yes, and we're to resist him. We're to put on the whole armor of God. But the war is the battle of the heart and the mind of souls. And so I want you to know that when we send out prayer groups out into our community to pray, we're not praying like the charismatics say, well, you go and these demons have this territory, so you pray that these demons will be bound up and cast out of that territory. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. That's not what we're doing. When we're going through these neighborhoods to pray, we're praying for souls, that these strongholds would be cast down through the mighty power of God. Amen. That's what we're praying. Through the weapons that God gives us. You know, you can't go to this spiritual battle. I was reading what John MacArthur, he wrote on this passage, and he said that you can't go breaking down these strongholds with pea shooters. How many of you remember what pea shooters are? There's some of you. I loved those things when I was a kid. It's a little straw, and it's got these little bitty peas in there. I don't remember if they're wooden peas or what, and you put them in that straw. It's like a BB gun, but not as powerful. And so there ain't any way that you're going to go out into this world and break down these spiritual strongholds with pea shooters. Human wisdom, carnal methods, you can't do it. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 when he came to Corinth. You got to realize Corinth, this was a place where they were into human wisdom big time. And, you know, Paul didn't go there and just say, well, we got to fit in with this culture, and so we got to reason with them according to human wisdom and try to win them over by our eloquence and by our clever arguments. This is how we're going to win these people, these Greek people that are given to human wisdom. Well, let's listen to what Paul said. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it was the preaching of the cross. It was the preaching of the gospel. That's the mighty power of God that brought down these strongholds. It wasn't his clever human wisdom. You know, if you think about it, I want you to, if we go back to this idea of a stronghold, I want you to picture your heart and every heart as a city or a stronghold. I want you to just picture your heart tonight as a city or a stronghold. And I'm going to read a verse in Proverbs 16:32, because the scripture does talk about or compare overtaking a city and compares that to winning over the will of a man that is in bondage. In Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. So it's talking about a man that can rule his spirit. And, you know, the idea, sometimes spirit and heart is used synonymously or interchangeably. So just, I want you to imagine he that ruleth his heart or his spirit, he is stronger than a man that takes a city. So you see that comparison made. I want you to think of your heart as a city. And I want you to think of the streets of that city, swarming in that the streets of that city of your heart are imaginations, thoughts. So I want you to picture that, your heart being a city, a stronghold, and the inhabitants are the imagination and thoughts. Every city has a ruler. You know, back in those days, every city had a king. And I want you to think about this with me. A lost person, who is that ruler? Some say Satan, that's true. Sin, there's another one. You know, sin is the ruler. Satan and sin, we could say both, are rulers in the case of a lost person. Because Romans 5:21, it talks about that sin reigns unto death in those who are lost. It's sin that's reigning in the life of a lost person. I don't have time to go and turn there in Romans 5:21, but I want you to think about, let's just picture sin as the ruler of that city, that heart, holding the thoughts captive to fulfill its desires. Now, this takes some thinking. People are not used to thinking. They want people to think for them. But I want you to think with me again. The heart is like a city, so here's these thoughts, imaginations that are inhabitants of this city, and there's a ruler, and this ruler is sin, and this ruler called sin is ruling over these thoughts and imaginations in that city, in that heart. And so vain imaginations, proud conceits, high thoughts of self, all these things are the thoughts that's going on in that heart that's lost. That's being ruled over by sin. And Satan, he endeavors to keep these kind of people from the faith, from the obedience to the faith, to the gospel. And he holds men in bondage. I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So here, we could imagine Satan being that ruler of that heart, Satan ruling that city, that life. Think of how many lives today Satan rules. I mean, it's millions of people. We need to understand the battle that we're going into. We need to understand what it's all about. We need to understand what kind of weapons that we have to use to win this war. We've got to look at the scripture. Satan and sin is ruling over these hearts. We can't go in there with pea shooters and win them. We can't go in, and so really that sets you at ease. It should set you at ease to know that, hey, you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be able to have some kind of, human wisdom and know a ton of things about everything just so you can win people to Christ. And, a lot of Christians, I say, I can't talk to anybody about the Lord because I don't know. I don't know enough. I don't know what to say. But listen, if you know the gospel, you know all you need to know. These reasonings, we can't win them over with that. And so I want you to imagine, so there's a ruler that's controlling these thoughts and imaginations of the heart, and it's a stronghold. Now, if I stopped there, it'd be pretty discouraging, wouldn't it? I think, man, we're just doomed. We're not going to be able to win people to the Lord. People can't break free from bondage like that without a liberator. And I want to take you back to 2003, Operation Iraqi Freedom, when the U.S. led a coalition against Saddam Hussein and his Republican forces. The main objective of that war was to capture the city of Baghdad. And the reason why is because Baghdad was the stronghold of Saddam Hussein. And so if they could take that, then they could take and liberate the people from this dictator. And that's exactly what they did. And so I want you to think about it, that there is a liberator for lost souls. There is a liberator, amen? I mean, if you're saved tonight, there is a liberator who came and set you free. You are in bondage to sin and Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 12:29, or else how can a man enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. I'm glad Jesus is much stronger than Satan. And I'm glad Jesus is much stronger than any lie of Satan. And I'm glad the truth can cast down any lie. And I'm glad that Jesus has the power to save a soul and set them free, to liberate them from sin and Satan. If you think about this, as we go out there, there's people that, there's strongholds. You got to realize there's a stronghold. Where's that stronghold? Their minds, their hearts. And so just like I just shared that story of Saddam Hussein, if we're going to win people to Christ, we have to first pull down the stronghold. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So there first has to be the stronghold has to be demolished. And it tells us that not through weapons that are carnal, but through mighty through God. And I want to look at those weapons because I want to give you some hope. Because, I start out this question, okay, why is it so hard to win somebody to Christ? Why are they so reluctant to come? Well, it's because of strongholds. It's because of lies that have been established in their minds. Lies. Maybe from the time that they were little children. These lies have been planted and built up in their mind to the point that where they're totally resistant to God and truth. But that doesn't mean that it's not possible to win them, because he tells us here that we can do it through God. The pulling down of strongholds through God's mighty power. The first thing is the gospel, and we've already looked at that in 1 Corinthians 1. It was through the preaching of the gospel that Paul was able to see many of these people at Corinth saved. And, you know, if we had time, you could look at 1 Corinthians 6, and you could look at some of these people. They were in bondage to all kinds of wickedness. You look in 1 Corinthians 6, you have drunkards, you have homosexuals, you have murderers, you have thieves, all these types of people. Now, we look at those behaviors and we think, okay, you know, they need to stop doing these things. Well, they'll never stop doing those things until the stronghold is cast down and that ruler that's ruling their heart defeated and thrown out, and a new ruler coming to take that place, Jesus Christ. And that's what he tells them. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, you are justified. You know, they were delivered from that. There was a new ruler that came to rule over their city, over their hearts. You know, Romans 1:16 says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do we believe in the power of our weapons? I wonder if we believe as Christians in the power of our weapons. God has given us some mighty, powerful weapons. The gospel is one of those weapons he's given us. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, how that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. There's the gospel right there. Christ died for your sin, for my sin, as a substitute in our place. And he was buried. He rose again. He came victorious over sin and death and the grave. And he's a living Savior. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. And he wants to give us eternal life and forgive our sins. It's a free gift of God. That's the gospel. And it's powerful. Just sharing the gospel is powerful. I mean, it saved my soul. It saved your soul. If you're here tonight and you're saved, it saved you. Another aspect of the gospel we can talk about is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17, where he talks about the whole armor of God. He talks about all the armor being defensive armor, but then he talks about one offensive weapon. He said, in taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do we do battle against these strongholds? How do we... You know, you think about in the old days, those cities like in Corinth, they had this fortress on top of this hill. And it was hard, it was pretty rough to scale up there, but if you ever made it up there, you're going to get nailed. I mean, they're on top of the walls. They got arrows and all kinds of things just waiting to rain down on top of you and knock you out. I mean, it is hard to take a stronghold in those days. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have missile launchers. They didn't have any of those things. That's why he's saying that a man that can rule a spirit, he's mightier than a man that captures a city. It means it takes a lot of power to rule someone's spirit, your spirit. It takes the Spirit of God. People try to overcome anger. They try to overcome adultery, drunkenness, homosexuality, all these. He just listed. He just lay them out there. They try to overcome all these sinful behaviors that God calls sinful. And they're still sinful today in 2020 as they were in the first century. Or before Christ. They're still sinful today, but they have all these behaviors. And listen, the only thing that can change us is Christ. Christ is the only one that can change. The gospel is the only one that can remedy that. The Word of God is the singular weapon of the Holy Spirit that can pull down these strongholds. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Would you notice the word thoughts in this verse? Would you notice that, you know, people, they have these strongholds in their hearts and minds. So these strongholds against the truth and against the knowledge of God. And they're taking refuge back there thinking, yeah, I'm safe. I can't be touched by God, the gospel. I'm safe behind this fortress. But listen, they can't hide from God. Amen. When the word of God is preached, when the gospel is preached, it goes, pierces through that stronghold. Amen. Piercing to the dividing center of soul and spirit. The discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's a powerful weapon. Error can only fall before the truth. Rebellion ends when truth prevails. And that's what we do. We preach truth. We teach truth. We share the word of God. That's our weapon. The gospel is our weapon. That's how people are brought to Christ. You know, I could talk about two others, but I don't really have time. But there's, you know, faith is... I think we need to have faith as we use the weapon of the Lord God. We need to go in faith. We need to go with prayer and fasting. But as these strongholds are pulled down, I want you to notice something. In bringing every thought, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So our object is not just to tear down the stronghold. Our object is not just to hammer them with the truth and just tear down their strongholds of lies. You don't want to stop there, but after getting that stronghold pulled down, it says bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So this is the bringing of people to the obedience of Christ, the obedience of faith, which is trusting Christ. You know, the obedience of faith, Romans 1:5 talks about it. The obedience of faith. You know, some people can get confused by that phrase and thinking, is that works? The obedience of faith, you know, the gospel, there's two gospel commands, repent and believe. Repent and believe. They're commands. And commands are to be obeyed. And so, obedience to the faith means that we repent and put faith in Christ. And so we tear down these strongholds. We pull them down using the arm or the weapons God gives us, the truth, the gospel, the word of God. And then we bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. We lead people to Christ. It's very important that we lead them to Christ. You know, whenever they overtook the city of Baghdad, remember, I'll never forget that day when Baghdad fell. I remember watching the news. But what if that was it? But you remember there's a lot of these people that were captives under this dictatorship that when they heard about the fall of Saddam Hussein, many of them, they became willing captives of the United States. Willing. Because the United States gave them freedom. And that's what Jesus does. You know, Satan holds us in bondage. But when those strongholds are cast down and that ruler is deposed of, and then Christ comes to become the ruler of that heart, we have true liberty, true freedom in Christ. So these thoughts are brought to serve a new ruler, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. So our job is to pull down, cast down, bring into captivity. It's an all-out assault. The goal is not complete until every imagination, every thought of every human heart is subject to Christ. And I wish I could say that we will finish this war this year, but we won't. This war won't be finished till Christ comes. But we're to engage in this war till He comes, winning one at a time, tearing down one stronghold after another, liberating one city, one life at a time. You know, in Revelation 19:15, when it talks about Christ coming on that white horse, and it says, out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. When you read that passage, you come to realize that the sword that comes out of His mouth is the Word of God. And do you realize that we use the same weapon that Christ is going to use? When He comes and He brings in His kingdom, He's going to come with the sword of His mouth. It's the Word of God, the very same weapon that we should be using against the powers of darkness. So we're called to fight a good fight until we've finished our course. That's what Paul told us to do. Fight a good fight. Fight a good fight. You know, as we prepare to go out here in a couple of weeks, let's just remember the truths of this passage, that we can't win this war with carnal means, only with divine means. And it ought to encourage everyone. I know that it's not easy, but it ought to encourage every single one here tonight to have hope and faith that as we go forward, God will reward our labor, because we have divine weapons given to us. We may not win every heart. We may not capture every one. But listen, there's going to be some hearts out there that are going to be captured for Christ. If we go in faith, believing and praying and trusting and laboring and taking the powerful gospel out there, there are going to be some strongholds cast down. There are going to be some hearts won to Christ. I want you to stand with me tonight, and we're going to pray and have an invitation, because it may be that you're here tonight and you have not been liberated from sin. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're a believer tonight. Maybe this passage spoke to you. Maybe there's some lies that are in your mind and your heart that are strongholds that Satan has built. And these strongholds need to be cast down. And they can only be cast down with truth, with the Word of God. Christian, we need to be in the Word of God. Every day, we need to fill our hearts and minds with truth so we can keep these lies out, because there's so many lies out there. So many lies. Satan wants to take and capture our hearts and minds. He wants to capture your children's hearts. Listen, I say this as a father that lost one of mine. Satan can capture our children's hearts. We need to stand strong and take the truth to them. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You, Lord, for giving us a divine weapon, a powerful weapon, the gospel. Lord, help us not to underestimate His power. Lord, help us, Lord, to have faith, to believe that, Lord, You're going to use us, Lord, as we go out. And there are people that are, there are strongholds that Satan has built in people's minds and hearts. Strongholds of lies, Lord, that need to be pulled down, that need to be cast down. And the thoughts need to be brought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, there are people that are broken by sin because they're under sin's dominion. They need to be set free. They're under Satan's snare. and they need to be recovered out of his snare. Lord, help us to go in faith and taking the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, Lord, that we might be able to cast down these strongholds and to bring people to faith in Christ. Lord, bless this time of invitation, Lord. Lord, it may be someone here tonight that needs to be saved. Maybe someone here tonight that needs to get some things right in their heart, to cast down some strongholds, to let the truth work in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would have your way and your will. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.